that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, we all hear about the fullness of God. We all hear about walking in the Spirit. We all hear that we have the mighty Holy Ghost that lives on the inside of us, that we have the dunamis working ability of God that abides on the inside of us, and all of that is fantastic. But Paul said in the book of Corinthians that if we have not love, it profits nothing. We can speak in tongues, we can prophesy, but if we don't have love, it doesn't profit anything. Brother Sean, why are you talking about love? Because love is the foundation of our Christian faith. Amen. Thank you for the amen. Love is the root, is the core, is the nucleus of our Christian heritage, of our Christian faith. And if we want to walk in the fullness of God, then we better be able to walk in the love of God. And we better be able to love one another as Christ loved the church. And we better allow the love of God to flow in us and through us to a lost, damned, and dying world. In the first church, they knew that they were Christians because they had love one to another. And we hear more about the fullness and we hear more about the mighty acts of God, but we don't necessarily see the demonstration of God's love. Very simple acts of maybe buying somebody a hamburger or changing a car tire for an elderly lady that has a flat. It's the little things that sometimes we let slip by. But we want to walk in the fullness of God, but we don't want God's love to flow in us and out of us. How hypocritical is that? That we don't allow the love of God to flow out of us. Philippians 2:2 says this. You don't have to turn there. Fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Oh, that we could all have the same mind and be of one accord and walk in love. That when Brother Mike's in trouble, I can love him enough to come and give him a hug and tell him, brother, you're going down the wrong road. I love you, and love him enough to tell him that he's going down the wrong road. Not to be hypocritical, not to be judgmental. If you go in the right spirit, I'm going to tell you right now, Brother Mike's going to receive it. Brother Mike's going to say, you're right. We need to get on our knees and we need to pray. And the same goes for any one of us. And if you come to me in the wrong spirit, I ain't going to listen to you. I'm just not going to do it. I went to my pastor many a times. You people don't know about it, but I would go to him very, very humbly, very, very scared at the same time, but very humbly, and I would talk to him about things that none of you know about, but I would discuss some things with him in humble contrition and with tears in my eyes, because I would want somebody to come to me that way with the same spirit of meekness that, you know, consider myself lest I be lifted up. But we got to have the love of God that flows through us. We want the fullness of God. We want the wow of God. We want the power of God. But we forget about the little old love of God. God is power, has power, but he is love. It was love that held him to that tree, and it was love that raised him from the dead. It was all love. When he was born on this earth, it was a love mission. Goodwill, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. It was a love mission. God sent his son because Adam blew it in the garden. And God sent another Adam, a second Adam that was perfect. And God sent his son in the fullness of time. God sent forth his son, born of a virgin woman. God sent forth his son to redeem you and to redeem me. And he knew where he was headed. He knew where he was going. He said many a times, my will is to do the... My will is to do, I want to do the will of my Father. I want to do his will. My kingdom's not of this earth. If it was, I would tell you. But what I see, the things I do, I see my Father do. I see my Father say. See, he didn't even speak what he wanted to speak. So many times we get ourselves in trouble because we give everybody a piece of our mind when we just need to hold our lips and hold our tongues and pray about situations. Because we're not walking in the love that we need to be walking in. Brother Sean, you talk a lot about love. Look, Jesus talked about a lot about love. He said, matter of fact, Jesus said these words, if a man love me, he'll keep my commandments and they won't be grievous unto me. Love thy neighbor as thyself. If you're going to love Jesus, you got to love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your being. You've got to love the Lord God with everything. There is no give Jesus a little bit of your heart and you're going to make it to heaven. It's an all-out, full-out, blown commitment to serve Jesus or nothing. We've got Mormons and we've got Islams in America that sell out to their false gods, and we can't even sell out to the true God. They're dedicated. Mormonism has commercials on the TV that give stuff away, and we got preachers that charge today for your best love gift, for your best seed offering. If you send me your best gift, I'll send you this book that I just wrote, and how hypocritical that it might be. We need to get back to a love message. This gospel is a love message. This book is a love book. It's a love letter to you, and it's a love letter to me into a lost, damned, and dying world. We want to walk in God's fullness, but we don't want to walk in His love. We cannot walk in God's fullness without walking in His love according to the Scripture. We can't even lay our hands on the sick unless we have love and compassion for a lost, damned, and dying world. Jesus looked down on the multitudes and He was moved with compassion, the Bible says. And His spirit groaned and He grieved in His spirit because He saw the people as a sheep having no shepherd. And oh, there have been times I've read that scripture in my own personal life. I've read it, and every time I come to that scripture, I would weep and tears would get in my eyes. And I would never understood why I would get tears in my eyes until now. Now I understand. Now it's becoming a little bit more clear of why that scripture would touch my heart the way that it would. And we can't even have love. If we don't have love, we don't have anything, my brother and sister. Shut the doors, close the church, don't even come no more. But I believe that we have love. I don't believe we're yet perfected in love the way God wants us to be perfected in love. But He's working on us, and He's working on me, and He's working on you. And we need to continue to allow Him to work on us. The moment we stop God allowing us to work on us, we are in trouble. That's saying we've arrived and we've not yet arrived until Christ comes. Amen. We look through a glass darkly right now, but when He comes, we're going to see and behold face to face. But until now, we look. We have to look. We have to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, as Paul said. We have to sometimes press to love that person that sits next to us. Because sometimes our flesh just don't want to love. I know y'all's flesh is perfect. It always wants to love. Mine doesn't always want to love. I'll just be honest. There are times I have to buffet my flesh. Paul talked about buffeting his body daily with fastings and travailings. But there are times when you've got to love somebody. You love somebody. You have to put your flesh aside. You have to put your will aside. And you have to love that person. Why? Because Christ wants you to. See, it's not about me. It's not about what I think. It's not about what you think. It's about what He thinks. And if we're going to love Him and be His disciples, then we need to do what He says. If we love Him, His commandments won't be grievous to us. His sayings, His commandments, we'll want to do them. I got some notes here. And in the first commandments, to love God. The second, with all our heart, more important than ritual. We can come to church, but if we don't have love, it don't profit us anything. Love can give us boldness in the presence of God. Love can give us boldness. It's a sign of true faith when we love one another. See, we can't even call ourselves Christians unless we're willing to love one another. Can't even call ourselves Christians. If we can't say we love God who we don't see and can't love my brother who I do see, that's hypocritical. But we want to walk in the fullness of God. We want to have the power of God. But we don't want to walk in the love of God. I saw the scripture today and it jumped out at me. And that's the only scripture I saw was the one I just read you in Ephesians chapter 3. And it's a pretty profound little scripture. It's a pretty profound statement. And to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. There's a love that passes knowledge. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. What power that works in us? God has power, but He is love. little bit of power, little bit of love in your life working. So go back and get your love life straightened out and your power life will work. You cannot have the power of God and not have the love of God. There's an imbalance. There's an instructure that needs to be fixed. And I don't know where this tape's going to go, but maybe some minister needs to hear it, because we got Pentecostalisms and charismatic people that love the power of God, but they don't know how to love their brother to the right of them or to the left of them, or they don't know how to love that kid that they got at home that don't want to serve God because they're not letting the love of God flow through them. There are some things that I'm very, very dogmatic about, but as I get older, I am seeing that I cannot change my wife, I cannot change my kids, but I know a God that can. And I'm finding out that if I just hold my peace sometimes and let the Lord fight my battles, and I just begin to do acts of kindness and acts of love, that there's more done in acts of love and kindness than in a me raging in my temper and blowing off the stack. I know none of you guys have a temper, but sometimes I do. And it's an ugly thing, and I'm asking God to help me, because I don't like that part of me. When you get saved, you don't want to remain the same. You don't want to stay the same. You want to be around your brothers and sisters in Christ. The Bible says we know that we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Don't tell me you've said the sinner's prayer and you love God and don't love the brethren. According to the Bible, you're not a Christian. I didn't say according to Sean or to the first church. I said according to the Bible. You're not saved. You haven't been born again. You haven't been born from above. You can go to church, just like I can go sit in a garage, but that doesn't make me a car. But people can come to church and say they've said the sinner's prayer, but there's no love towards us. Why? Because my spirit would bear witness with that person that they are the sons of the living God. My spirit bears witness with Mike and with Brother Terry that they are the sons of the living God, because we have a connection, we have a bond, and the bond is Christ. And anybody that says that they're saved, that there should be a bond, there should be there's everybody tap your stomach. All of us in here have a knower, and it's called the Holy Ghost. And we know good and evil, and we know right from wrong. And we know when somebody says that they're saved, and we know when they're really not saved, because our knower tells us that they might come to church and they might want to do what's right, but they're really not saved. They haven't been born from above, because the love of God is shed in our broad in our heart by the Holy Ghost to love the brethren. And if you don't love the brethren, you've not been born again. I don't care if your wife tells you, if a pastor tells you, the Bible says you're not saved. Not a denomination, not a church, not a pastor, not a priest, but the Bible. And it's time that men and women of God get back to the Bible and preach the unadulterated word of God without apology. A sign of true faith is John 8:42, that we need to walk in love. We need to walk in love. We need to manifest our love towards God in obedience. Whatever it is, when you write that tithe check out, don't worry about the other bills. Manifest your love towards God when you write that check out, and just pay your tithes and everything will be okay. I know it gets scary, but God's going to take care of his children. I said God. I didn't say the church. I didn't say the government. I said God knows how to take care of his children. If he needs to rain manna out of heaven, he'll rain manna out of heaven. If he's got to have a raven send his food, he'll have a raven send his food. Who knows? I could be the CEO of Publix and feed everybody. You never know. And I don't want that, but it could happen. God can do some strange things to get his people fed. Joseph did it. He did it through Joseph. Thank you for the amen. He did it through Joseph. Fed Israel. Because Joseph was working for a king and put him in charge of everything. And when his brothers came back and saw who it was, they trembled and they feared. And he said, fear not. And he fed his family, fed his countrymen, fed his kinsmen. And oh, that God's going to take care of his own. But you have to be born again. There is no love like the love of Christ. There is no love like the love of Christ. You can say that you love somebody, but actions speak louder than words. And that's why I know Christ loved us is because he gave himself to us. He died for us and he rose again. And proved that love when he rose again. 1 John 2 verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. This world's passing and it's turning. And scientists say the world's spinning faster and faster than it's ever spun before. What does that mean, Brother Sean? Jesus is coming very, very soon. I don't know the time, I don't know the day, and neither do you, and neither does anybody else. Anybody else that says they do is a liar according to the Bible. No one knows the time, no one knows, but we can know the seasons, and the seasons are getting dark. And darker and darker. And God wants our love to show, to flow from one to another into a lost, damned, and dying world. And God wants our love to be ready to serve him in service, whether it be mowing the grass, whether it be taking up a Sunday school, whether it be giving our pastor off a Sunday night so he can rest, whatever it be, when you love God, you want to do something for him. And it's time that we as the Holy Church of God let God's love that's in our hearts. God's been good to every single one of us. God, and it's time that we allow, let God work through us to this neighborhood and to a lost, damned, and dying world. And if it means get out of your selfishness, you need to get up out of your selfishness and let God love through you. And it's not about me and my four. It's about Jesus and his army and his multitudes. It's about his kingdom. We're of a different kingdom. We're pilgrims and strangers in a strange world. We are not our own. We have been bought with a price. And that price was the precious blood of Jesus. You might have the last name Shatraw, you might have the last name Ninus, but you are not of that sort, my brother and sister. You are of a different sort, and that different sort is through the bloodline of Jesus Christ, and that is the heritage that we have. We are not our own. We have been bought with a price, and we need to let God love through us. And we need to love God in every aspect of our life. We need to love him when we wake up in the morning. We need to love him on the way to work. And we need to love him at work. When our bosses ask us to do something, we need to do it. That's an act of love toward God. As hard as it is, my brother and sister, we're obeying God when we obey our bosses. How do you know, Brother Sean? Because they have me do some crazy things at work. I mean some crazy things. They took my hours from 270 hours to 245 hours. I said, okay. I don't know how it's going to get done, but okay. I'll schedule it that way. I'm not working 70. I did tell them that. I'll work 55. I'm not working anymore. I told them I'm done. I'll even work 6 days. I'll go in at 3:30, leave at 8 o'clock in the morning, so I have the rest of the day, but I'm not doing any more. Brother Sean, what if you get fired? Oh, well. God will take care of me. I'm not going to let a company drain me from my family and from my God, because it's important that we are able to be about our Father's business. And as the new year comes about, which is just around the corner, I've already talked to my wife about some things, about retiring. Well, Brother Sean, what would you do? And I don't know what I would do. I would have to trust the Lord. I know I have to work and take care of my family, but that doesn't mean I have to work 50 hours a week. And y'all pray for me, because I'm serious about wanting to be about my Father's business or whatever doors of opportunity open up. Does that mean you're leaving? No, I'm not leaving. I'm here till God says otherwise. I'm right here with the Holy Church of God. I'm not going nowhere unless the Lord opens the door and says I can. I can't go anywhere. That's just me. Other people can do what they want, but I'm right here because God told me this is where I'm going to be. And my wife respects me enough and loves me enough that I hear from the Lord, and this is where we're at. And we're one. Thank God we are one, and we're in agreement on some things. Hasn't always been that way, but as of lately, it's been that way. You've got to love each other. I've got to love you, and you've got to love me. We've got to love our pastors. This is the greatest witness to the world, is us loving one another. And yet we get so far from it in the church world through we get so far from the fundamentals of the faith, that we go off into left field, and we have today we have Aaron's building golden altars, golden sacrifices, and it's through money, it's through gold, it's through green money now. In the Old Testament, they made out a graven image as Moses came down from the mountain, and he says, "What have you done? What have you done?" And he threw the rocks, he threw the tablets down, and yet today we have the same scenario going on, the same evilness in men's heart. They are, I don't know why I'm saying this, but I'm going to go with the Spirit of God. They are building graven images with money. They talk more about money than love of Jesus and love of the gospel and love of the brethren. When you hear more about sow your seed than you do about love Jesus, fear God, and keep His commandments, something's wrong in a ministry. Something's wrong in the heart of a man and a woman when all you hear about is money. Something's happened on the inside and they become greedy. They love mammon more than they love God, according to the scripture. And God's going to raise up some men and women that love God more than they love mammon, and more than they love the applause of the people, that they want the applause of their God. We're living in a day where men have turned from darkness. Men have turned from the light and love darkness more than they love the light. We're living in a time where because the love of many will wax cold because of iniquity. We're living in that time. We're living in the time where we see unparalleled things going on in the church world that we ought not see. That doesn't mean I don't love people and I don't want to see them restored. I do. But there are some people that will not be restored because of their pride and their arrogance, and because they will not repent. Jimmy Swaggart is on the verge of is been restored, but he repented. There are others that have not repented, that are going on like nothing in the world has happened, like everything's dandy and everything's okay. Everything's not okay. If my wife and I divorced, I wouldn't be up here tonight. That's just me. Can't do it. It's not saying I wouldn't counsel somebody. I wouldn't. But as far as me ministering, I would not minister if my wife and I divorced. Now, if I caught her sleeping with another man, that's a different story. I still wouldn't be able to be up here because I'd shoot her and shoot him. But moving right along. No, I'm just, I don't know what I would do. I'm just going to say that. I would have to leave and get in my truck and just drive and let God take care of me. But she won't do that because she loves me. She loves Him first. You got to love Him first and want to obey Him and then love me. See, we got to love God first more than we love our husbands. And for you mothers and fathers, more than you love your children, you got to love God first. We got to love Him first. We got to love Him first. He's got to be the first thing you think about when you wake up in the mornings. As tired as you might be, as you might have had a bad night, but you got to think about Him. You got to think about Him. What He did for you was an act of love. What are you going to do in return for that act of love? Is the question God's asking you tonight. There's something God's put on every one of your hearts for you to do, and only you know it. I don't know it. And I'm not going to tell you I know it, because I'd be lying. But there are things God has placed on your hearts. Why? Because there's things He placed on my heart when I came back to the Lord. And it took a while for them to transcend, and it took a while for them to come about. But they came about because God placed things on my heart to do in this ministry and to do for our pastor so that he could rest. He's got to work. I don't necessarily like him working, but you know what? God has healed him and God has restored him. And if he's got to work to stay true to the gospel, I'm okay with that. But as long as he can deliver the truth, I'm okay with that. At least I know he's not wavering and he's not shaking just to get people into the building. And we're not going into no secret, sensitive, friendly garbage to get people into a building. Sean, you said that was garbage. It is garbage. It is garbage. People come to Jesus because they've been, the Holy Ghost has enlightened their eyes that they're a sinner and they need a God-saving grace like Jesus Christ. They need a Savior. That's why people come to Jesus, because Jesus is the Savior of the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. See, this is a love gospel. And in the act of love was Jesus dying on the cross and raising from the dead. Because if Jesus hadn't arose from the dead, the Bible says we are dead in our sins. We are dead in our sins if He hadn't rose from the grave. Turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 8. Verse 42 says, Jesus saith unto them, If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? You are of your father the devil. See, God has a language, and it's a love language. God doesn't wish that anybody perish, but that all come to the knowledge of the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But men and women, boys and girls, have a choice. They have a free will. God's not going to walk up to Brother Michael and point a gun in his face and say, you're going to serve me. God doesn't operate that way. Thugs and punks operate that way. But Jesus Christ never operates that way. He's a God of love, and he comes humbly, and He comes gently, and He woos you. And when you sense that love, you want to serve Jesus. You want to surrender all, because there's no love like the love of my Master. There's no love like the love of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's no man, woman, boy, or girl that's going to love you correspondingly that can love you like Jesus Christ. You will not be loved until you let God love you. I know people that have compromised and wanted to get married, and they got married and they settled for second best instead of being patient and waiting for the one that God had handpicked for them and God chose for them. How do you know when God handpicks them for you? Because I'm telling you, when you get married, all hell will do everything it can to break your marriage up when God sends you the right one. Doesn't mean we allow it, but I'm telling you right now, my wife and I have been through some things, partly because of my stupidity, and the other parts because of we have an adversary who doesn't like us, because we represent the fact that in this ministry, and in Doug and Sherry as well, and Jimmy and Kim as well, that we were married under this ministry, and we are still married 12, 13 years later, and we represent that marriage still works in the 21st century. Marriage still works in the 21st century. You don't have to be married for 5 years and not like each other and want to get a divorce. Bible talks against divorce. Amen. Amen. But the 21st century church says that it's okay, but God says it's not okay. And I'm going to go with God. I'm going to go with God. God says it's not okay. It's not okay. People need to love each other and work it out, and let the love of God work through them so they can work it out. Isn't it amazing that I was coming home one day from work, one evening from work, and James Dobson has some speakers on there, and it was talking about wives submitting unto your husbands, and I, you know, my ear perked up, but as the message went on, I got more convicted than probably my wife did, because I went home, got on my computer, pulled it up on the internet. She was already in bed, and I put it in my favorites, and I saved it for a time when the kids weren't home. Nobody was home but me and the wife, and we listened to it. I says, honey, I don't want you to listen to this and think I'm trying to get you. I just want you to listen, because there's some things in here we can both learn from, because, hey, no one gave us an instruction book on how to be married and stay married. Thank you for the amen. There is no manual on staying married and working out your problems and situations with your children and with each other. Because I'm a big disciplinarian, and sometimes I'm too hard, and Sometimes she's too soft, but God works with us and God gives us the ability to, with this, because they gave scripture. I don't listen to programs that don't give the word of God. That's just me. They give scripture and they give good reference. I'm going to listen and I'm going to learn because I'm not too proud to learn. I've learned some things from, it wasn't James Dobson. It was somebody else. It was just his program. And I can't remember who it was. But it, as a matter of fact, it was a woman that I learned something from, believe it or not. What are you laughing for back there? I learned something from a woman. And I got a woman who's my boss. And I had a store manager one time that was a woman. And I don't understand why God gave me a woman store manager. But I do now. I understand why God, because you know what? It's pride. If you say you can't work for a woman, get in an altar, because it's pride. Because I can work for a woman. Hey, in this day and age, you better be able to work for a woman. In this day and age, you better be able to work for a different color of a race, because that's just the world that we live in. We're going to have a president now, Mr. Obama, who's a colored man. And I'm not a racist person. I'm just saying there are some people that couldn't work for a black boss, and there are some people that couldn't work for a woman who was a boss. But we're living in a time where Christ says we got to, servants, obey your masters. So, Brother Mike, if you get a woman who becomes your boss, we got to obey her according to the Bible. Not according to me, but according to the Bible. And I got a district manager who's a woman. And at first, we didn't see eye to eye, because I thought she did me wrong. But the Lord says, you need to humble yourself and shut your mouth. I said, okay. He knew I didn't need to be at a store doing $100,000 a week in produce, being stressed out. I thought I needed to be there because I was that good. But I didn't need to be there, obviously. And he knew that they were going to change the bonus structure. See, I didn't know this, but God knew it. And they were going to take money from us, because that's what companies do these days. They take money from us. They don't give you any extra money. They take it from you. And so they cut our bonuses. I only lost $1,000 of bonus, but there are some people that lost $6,000-$7,000 of bonus. And when you get used to living on that, that's a huge pay cut. And God knew that was going to happen. And that's why I didn't get sent to Collier Parkway, or that's why I didn't stay at Store 6 in Tampa Palms. And I just look back now and say, thank you, Lord, for not answering my prayer to stay there, because I'd be stressed out, not making the money I should make, that I would be used to making because of the bonuses. But why I'm saying all that is God knows how to take care of his children. He don't want us stressed out. He didn't want me stressed out coming home, taking it out on the wife and kids, taking it out of my family, taking it out of my sister when she called me. What do you want? Because I'm so tired and wore out. Because the enemy is doing everything he can to wear down the saints according to the Bible. He's trying to wear us down, and we need to be on guard. There are some obligations and responsibilities that we have to do. But there are other things we can just put aside and say, wait a minute, till I go be with my Father. That's gonna wait a minute. That's going to wait just a second until I spend some time at my Father's feet. See, Martha was cumbered about, worried about different things. And Mary chose that thing that can't be taken from her. And oh, that we would get a Mary attitude and a Mary heart, that we can sit at the feet of Jesus and learn a while. Because it's at his feet that we learn how to love, because we're letting him love us and instruct us. And what better way to learn love than to receive love? See, you've got to let God love on you, my brother and sister. You've got to receive his love. You are not so imperfect that he can't love you. He loves you just the way you are. He loves you. He died for you. And he wants to change your life forever. You just have to allow him. He's a God that loves you so much. He knows the thoughts that he thinks towards you. Thoughts of good and not of an evil, to give you an expected end. See, he has an expected end for you and for me, and that's to be with him in heaven. I don't know what you're going to do in between with your life, or what God has planned in between for your life. But if you allow God to love on you, He's going to change you. There are things that might hurt you from your childhood that no one knows about, but God knows about those places that He needs to touch and He needs to heal and He needs to pour oil and wine into. But you might have had a father that wasn't a good father, but I know a heavenly Father that will be good, good, good to you. He'll be sweet to you and loving to you and kind to you. You just need to allow Him to love you. People that have bad relationships with their fathers or their mothers, it's hard for them to receive love from God because they'd never really known love as far as from a person to person. But we're not talking about phileo love. We're talking about a love, an agape love that loved you enough to bleed and to die for you and to raise from the dead on the third day. It's important that we understand that God loves you and that actions speak louder than words. And if somebody tells you they love you, and they never want to be around you, they never want to spend no time with you, they've got plans to go here and plans to go there, and they just leave you out in the cold, they don't love you. Actions speak louder than words. There's an old scenario that says your life speaks so loud, I can't hear a word you're saying. Ours as a Christian, our love should speak so loud, the world sees it and hears it and wants it because they see it demonstrated in our life. We need to love God with all our heart. And I'm convinced that we, as a people and as individuals, we make an effort. We do our best. We put our best foot forward. But I sincerely believe we don't love God with all our heart. Well, how can you say that, Brother Sean? Let me finish. Because if we loved God with all our heart, we'd do everything this book says to do, myself included. We would humble ourselves and we would pray. And we would seek His face, and we would hear, He would hear from heaven, and He would heal our land if we would just love Him enough with all our heart to do what He says to do. Not what I say to do or what the pastor says to do, but what our Heavenly Father says to do. See, I love being in a church where we don't have 7 steps to get to heaven. We don't have 7 steps, but we got a book that tells us how to get there. And this is the only way to get there is through this book and through this man called Jesus. That's the only way to heaven. There is no other way to heaven. You're not going to get there through Buddha. You're not going to get there through Muhammad. You're not going to get there through any other religion but through Jesus. Because Jesus ain't a religion. Amen. Jesus is a relationship. Just like you got a relationship with a man and a woman or a boy and a girl, God wants to have that relationship with you, but fuller. Because God will love you more than any man, young lady, or more than any woman, young man. God will love you like you've never been loved if you just allow Him. Some of you need to let God love you like you've never been loved before. And I'm telling you, it's going to rearrange and change our life. There are things that we need to reprioritize, and one of them is letting us all walk in love and loving each other as we need to love each other, and letting some things, put some things aside, and let love take care of those things, because love knows how to take care of those things. I can go to Brother Terry and I can tell him what he needs to do. But sometimes love will show him what he needs to do. Just by being around somebody. I remember a time my mother told me I was fishing with my Uncle Mike. And I must have been, 13, 14 years old. And I didn't go witnessing with him. We just went fishing. I caught a fish and I said, "Thank you, Jesus." Put it in the boat. And later on, we took it home. And I found out years later that he had told my mom that, "Wow, I'm the adult. And he's the kid. I should be teaching him, and yet he's teaching me." See, it's not so much what you say, it's what you do. I just was thanking Jesus. And yet it convicted somebody. And that's what we need to do. We need to live a life. We need to have a life of conviction. And there are some things in my own life that I've let slip that God's really been dealing with me about. And I'm having to go back to the drawing board and say, okay, Lord, okay. You're right, Daddy, you're right. There are some things in your life that you might have let slip. And God's got your number. But he's not coming in a wrath way. He's coming in a love way. Because why? Because he loves us enough to let us know when we do wrong. He loves us enough to chastise us. He lets us know we're not bastards, but we're sons of the living God when he chastises us. Your finances, you having trouble with your finances and you're not tithing? Don't tithe just to get a blessing. Tithe because you love Jesus. When God gets your heart, he's going to get your wallet. God gets your heart, he's going to get everything. He's going to get everything when he gets your heart. And he gets my heart. When he has the whole of our heart, he has everything. He can tell you to go down to so-and-so and you're going to go down. And he might tell you to go up and hug that stinky old bum. And bums can be stinky and some of them might be old. But we need to do what Jesus would do. We need to do what our master would do. We need to take his example. Not some of the examples that we've seen and some of the failures that we've seen, but we need to get back in the book and learn about our master again. Learn about our Savior again. Learn what good things he did to the people. He always did good. Everywhere he went, he did good. Everywhere he went, he loved. And everywhere we go, we need to love and we need to show that love. When I go to a restaurant and they sometimes... I don't always tip well because I don't get good service. I should tip well because I'm a Christian. Whether I get good service or not, that hurt me. Y'all can say it hurts you because I'm a Christian. That hurt me, man. Sometimes I preach myself into conviction. I have to go home on the way home and pray, Lord, help me in this area and help me in that area. Brother Sean, are you serious? I'm dead serious. There are times God will give me something. I say, Lord, I can't preach that. There's no way I can preach that. Yeah, you're going to preach that tonight, son. And he knows exactly what to do to get my attention. And I said, I always have to say, not my will, but your will be done. Why? Because I know he loves us. And he wants to help us. He doesn't want to hurt us. He wants to help us. He only is going to hurt us if we hurt ourselves and don't do what he says. And walk in direct disobedience. And he has to spank us. And he has to use the bit and bridle on us. Because we don't choose to listen. Anybody you see that's wrong with God, not because God's so bad, it's because they don't want to listen. And they don't want to do what the scripture says to do. I'm learning that there are people that just don't want to serve God no more. And I don't understand it. In a day and a time that we live in, they just don't want to serve God. And I pray every day, Lord, help me not to become like that. Because it is a scary place to be. I got a wife who encourages me, thank God. And she's got a husband that encourages her. There are times we battle with discouragement. There are times I'm done. I'm tired of it. I'm not doing nothing no more. I'm just going to quit. And she goes, you know you can't quit. You know you got to go on. What would you tell somebody else? And I just look at her, shut up, leave me alone. Because I'm having a poor old me. But she encourages me, and I thank God she encourages me. And I encourage her because you know what? Sometimes you need that little admonishment saying, you can make it. Come on, you can go on. You can go another mile. You know, for the longest time, we were the only army that would leave our wounded. But I believe that's changing. Amen. As we get older. We're going back for our wounded, and we're picking them up, and we're praying for them, and we're washing their feet, and we're asking for the balm of Gilead to come and to touch them, because there is a balm of Gilead, my brother and sister. There is oil and wine to go into the wounds of your life. There is oil and wine to go into those wounds, those dark places that only you and God know about. There is oil and wine to go into those wounds. There is love to go into those wounds that where you need to be loved. You thought you were walking in love, and I was walking in love, but God came tonight and said, I want you to reevaluate your love life, your love towards God and your love one to another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And I want you to reevaluate it, because I want you to walk in the newness of life, and I want you to walk in love one to another. We know that we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. The Holy Ghost is shed abroad in our heart. The love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The love of God. We have the Holy Ghost. He lives inside of us. He's there to help us. He's there to be a helper, and He wants to help us love one another, and He wants to help us love a lost, damned, and dying world. We know how to speak in tongues. We know how to dance, but we've almost forgotten how to love. And God wants us to love Him first and foremost, above everything and anything that's in our life. God wants you to love Him above your husband, above your job, above your children, above your marital or financial problems. God wants you to love Him. And God wants me to love Him. Boy, it's quiet in here, and it's okay, because we are coming to the brink of a new year in just a few weeks. And I believe God wants to get our hearts, because we don't know what's going to happen around the new year. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I know one thing. I know young people think that they're promised tomorrow. The Bible says your life is but a vapor. You're not promised tomorrow. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. That's why we need to live for Jesus. A vapor, if you take a gasoline vapor, it evaporates very, very quickly. That's what the Bible is saying when it says our life is but a vapor. We're here right now, but on our way home, we could be gone and slip into eternity. And the most important thing is that we are saved and our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because we are not promised tomorrow. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. If you wake up tomorrow morning, it is by the sheer mercy of Almighty God and by His grace that you woke up. And by His love. It is by His sheer mercy. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your being. Let Him love you so you can love me and I can love you and we can love a lost, damned, and dying world. It's important to know love. Because the Bible says God is love. He has power. But He's first and foremost love. We know that God has power. But He's first and foremost love. God is love. There is no greater love than Jesus. No greater. No greater. There is no greater love than that. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 said this, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Isn't that amazing? Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So if you're going to tell me you're born again, then you better love me. And you better love your brother and your sister, or you haven't been born again. Don't tell me you love me, or you love God, don't want to come to His house and be around His people. Thank you for the amen. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation of for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. See, we can say a lot. We can be boisterous. We can have a high-impact service. But if we don't have love for each other and for our Lord and Savior, it don't mean a hill of beans. Doesn't do us any good to come down here and have a high worship service, clap our hands and stomp our feet and dance and run the aisle if we can't love one another. Doesn't do us any good. Love is the nucleus for revival. Thank you for the amen. Love is the nucleus for revival. Because if I'm loving God and I'm letting him love on me and we're loving each other, we're going to have compassion for a lost world. We're going to go out here and see somebody in the corner and our heart's going to break. There are times we were going to Virginia one time, or to Tennessee on vacation when we left for Tennessee. And I like to drive at night because there's less traffic and the kids go to sleep. And we left my parents' house and we had to go over to Heather's dad's house, and he goes back inside, and I'm sitting there, and she goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "Leave me alone." She goes, "Honey, what's the matter with you?" I said, "Just leave me alone." And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God hit me, and I begin to weep for her dad, and tears begin to well up in my eyes, and it was just compassion, and intercession begin to come on me, and I didn't go nowhere, and I didn't do nothing. Why, Brother Sean? Because I knew that was God praying through me for somebody who's lost, for somebody who, if they died tomorrow, would go to hell. And there are times it still happens. I'll go and we'll go and visit him, and we'll go to leave, and I won't tell my wife. I just turn my head outside like I'm looking at something. I just pray, "Lord, touch him. Lord, save him. Lord, deliver him." And there are times it's happened for her mother. Well, what about your parents? My parents are saved. I know they're going to heaven, but her parents aren't. They're going to hell. I know my family's okay. I know they ain't perfect, but they're okay. They're saved. So I'm more concerned about Heather's dad and Heather's mom and stepfather than I am my own, because I know that my parents are on their way to heaven, and Jesus would do the same thing. Jesus didn't come for the righteous. He came to seek sinners. He don't go after those that are well. He goes after those that are sick. Those that are well, the Bible says, don't need a physician. But those that are sick do. And that's what Jesus came for. The brokenhearted, the damned, and the dying. That's what he came on this earth for. Was for people like you and me before we got saved. Like Brother Doug before he got saved. Lord, have mercy. God, he gave us a fit. Lord, have mercy. Come over to the house with black, dark glasses on so we couldn't look in his eyes. There ain't no God. There was God, blah, 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 blah. And we just would have prayer meetings. And finally, one day, something broke. Finally, one day, he just saw the light. Those blinders came off his eyes, and he saw the light, thank the Lord, and he's saved tonight. And you know what? It wasn't easy. It was a fight for Brother Doug. And for all those that came around, but out of all those that came around, I believe there are only two that are serving God today, and it was worth it for those two. And one of them's Randy, he's in the Navy, and the other one's Doug. But it was worth it for those two because we were loving God, we were loving each other, and we were having prayer meetings and letting God love through us. And guess what? Wasn't no big sermons there. As a matter of fact, I can recall what we talked about. We talked about people denying themselves, taking up their cross and following Jesus. And God moved, and God touched, and God delivered, and demons cried and came out because we were doing what God wanted us to do. We were just praying together, and God was touching lives, and God was delivering. And I remember a time I was praying for Jessica's shoulder. It was out of place, and I heard it pop back in place because God was touching people. Are you getting self-righteous? No, believe me, I'm not getting self-righteous. You can ask my wife. There are times I don't understand why God put his hand on me. And there are times I get upset with my mother and my sister and my wife because they'll say, "Oh, brother Sean's the associate pastor." No, I'm just a man that works for a living that wants to give his pastor a day off on one Sunday night, a day off, and just fill in when I need to fill in. I'm just first a Christian. That's what I want to be. And anything else that transcends or transpires, so be it. But why, Brother Sean? Because I've seen people get into pride when they've been told they're this and they're that. And I'm very, very cautious. I'm very, very careful. We have a church today that's in a whole lot of trouble because of pride, pride. And they thought they were too big for their britches, and they're in trouble. And that's all I'm going to say. I ain't letting no cat out of the bag. I will say this. When I first came back to Jesus, that minister walked by me and went and sat down. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "He's full of pride." And you can think I'm crazy, but I know when God talks to me. And as I began to watch certain things in the ministry, it all changed. When they first started out, it was pure. I really believe that it was pure when it first started out. But with the moment those hands changed from gold to silver, something changed in the ministry. Something changed in the heart. And as I said, "Lord, please don't ever let pride get into my heart and into my life." And because why? Because it's easy to become prideful. The enemy would love for you and I to become prideful when God uses us. But why? Because that's exactly what he did that caused him to get thrown out of heaven, is he wanted to be like the Most High. Well, there's only one Most High, and his name's God Almighty and Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost. There is no other. Brother Doug, could you please give us some worship, and would you please stand? In closing, I want to say this. Love is the key to your success. I don't think you heard me. I'm not saying you're going to become wealthy, you're going to become rich. But love is the soil in which your relationship with God must grow. Love is the soil for your relationship with God and for each one of us to grow. We must love each other more than we ever have. The enemy's done everything he can to come in here and cause wedges and to cause conflicts and all that. And we've all overcame that. But guess what? Our enemy's not going to go nowhere. So what's he going to try next? What wedge is he going to try to use to get a conflict or a rift or a raft in the Holy Church of God? What's it going to be next? And it doesn't matter. As long as we're loving each other, we'll recognize it. But the people that don't recognize it are the people who aren't willing to walk in love. They just say, "No, you people just don't love us, blah, 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 blah." I've heard it all as long as I've been coming to this church. I've heard every negative thing that you could hear, believe me. I've heard "we don't love," and I've heard this, and I just look at people and say, "You know what, you're right. We don't love nobody." I don't argue with them. I don't defend us, because that's God's business. God will defend us, my brother and sister, if we stay true and we stay right and we're right wise with God and we're well pleasing to him. Let the mockers mock, let the gainsayers talk. Because God's going to bless us, and God's going to touch us, and God's going to heal us. There are times people talk about my family, my own personal family, and sometimes my wife gets upset, and I just say, "Honey, it's okay. It comes with the territory, honey. It's all right. It's all good. It's okay. Let them talk. That's all. If I'm that important, that I'm the best thing they got to talk about, I feel sorry for them. I really do, because I'm not nobody. I'm just a... Everybody knows my parents. Everybody knows my sister. Everybody knows I grew up in the church. Who am I? I'm nobody. But I know a God who is somebody. So let people talk. You're going to have people talk about you till the day you die. Thank you for the amen. Because you are. There are going to be people coming here. They're going to talk about us as soon as they leave. And it's okay. We got to love them. I don't think you heard me. We got to love them. We got to be bigger than them and better than them. Because that's what God wants us to do. God wants us to show the devil and give him a big old black eye. When they walk out of here, give him a big old hug and a kiss on the cheek. And say, "You lost, devil. You ain't going to win. When you go home and that husband of yours or that wife of yours is giving you a fit because you came to church all day, give him a big old hug and a kiss right on the cheek and say, that's from Jesus. We learned about love tonight. That's from Jesus. Brother Doug, give us some more. So if you, I can't do nothing for you, but if you need to come down to these altars, God is here to meet with you. And I hope that he touched your heart tonight. I hope God's love touched your heart tonight, because I'm just a messenger, but it's God that touches and it's God that heals.